Chapter 33. 0610 hours, September 13, 2552, revised date, military calendar. Aboard Covenant Battle Station, unyielding Hierophant. A rubbery tentacle reached in along the seam of the dropship's hatch. John raised his hand and signaled Linda to stand down. He recognized the alien limb. The splitting cilia feelers and globular sensory organs could belong only to a Covenant engineer. The engineer pushed open the hatch and entered the ship, floating past John and Linda as if they weren't there. It chittered and squawked as it ran its tentacles over the foreign armor plates and spatters of lead. Two more engineers bolted through the open hatch and joined the first. As long as they left the single-minded aliens to their work, they wouldn't raise an alarm. But what else was out there? John eased against the frame of the hatch and slid the fiber-optic probe outside. There was a line of dropships, Seraph fighters, and other single ships that stretched away into the shadows. Swarms of engineers, thousands of the creatures, hovered and drifted throughout the area. They moved parts, disassembled and reassembled sections of ship hulls, and plumbed plasma coils. There was no trace of a welcome party of elites waiting for Blue Team. John turned the optic probe up and saw a latticework deck overhead, with tools, welders, and spotlights hanging like jungle vines. It was as good a place as any to get their bearings. John turned and pointed at Linda and Will, then at the hatch and up. They nodded and moved out. 5 seconds later, acknowledgement lights from Blue 4 and 3 winked on. It was safe for the rest of them. John grabbed the upper lip of the hatchway and flipped up onto the top of the dropship. He grabbed a dangling cord and pulled himself onto the latticework deck, where Fred and Linda perched, watching and making sure the bay was clear. Grace and Fred disembarked and scrambled silently up into the darkness, joining them. John pointed two fingers at his eyes, and then made a flat fan motion across the space of the bay. The Spartans moved to carefully scan the area. From his shadowy overview, John saw that this place was a repair and refit facility, with slots for hundreds of single ships. The room curved out of view 300 meters in either direction. It must run the circumference of the station's hub. Apart from the thousands of busy engineers, John spotted only two grunts wearing white methane breather masks. It was not a color designation he had seen before. They pushed carts containing barrels of sloshing fluids. They would be easy to avoid. One side of the bay had a series of sealed doors that he presumed led to airlocks. The opposite wall of the bay had a meter-thick window through which poured an intense blue light. Every 30 meters along that transparent wall was a recessed alcove. Overflowing from the nearest alcove were purple polyhedral cargo barrels, old charred plasma coils, and plates of the silver-blue Covenant alloy. But what piqued John's interest was what was next to this pile of junk, a holographic terminal. John clicked his comm to get Blue Team's attention, pointed to the junk pile, held up two fingers, and then pointed again at the alcove. Everyone nodded, understanding his order. Fred and Linda silently dropped to the deck, ran across the bay, and melted into the shadows behind a cut section of hull. Grace followed. John looked up and down and side to side across the bay, making sure no grunts were visible. He and Will crossed and took cover behind a plasma coil the size of a Warthog light reconnaissance vehicle. He used both hands to point at Fred and Linda, turned his hands so they pointed to himself, and then nodded to the data terminal. Linda lay flat and slithered to the edge of the alcove shadows on his right. Fred took the left. They would cover him while he moved to the terminal. John reached to the back of his neck and pulled Cortana's chip from his skull. He crawled on his stomach, hugging the wall until he got to the terminal. He slid Cortana's chip into the input slot and then eased back into the shadows.
"I'm in," Cortana reported over the comm. "I have secured our own channel and encrypted the signal, so we're free to use the inter-team comm."
"Good work," John told her. "Is there a central reactor in the station? How well defended is it?"
"Stand by. I have to move carefully. There are Covenant security AIs in this system."
John hoped that this copy of Cortana's infiltration routines was as good as the real Cortana.
"I have schematics for the station," she told him. "The good news is, each lobe has a central reactor complex with 512 terawatt units, similar in design to the pinch fusion reactors on their ships. Apparently, this energy is used to power a shield generator that can repel the collision of a small moon. I can overload one reactor, causing the melting of its coils, which will saturate the surrounding..."
"Will it explode?" John asked impatiently.
"Yes, an explosion of sufficient force to vaporize both sections."
"That's the good news. What's the bad?"
"The reactor's control system is isolated. I cannot reach it from this terminal. You will have to physically deliver
the
me nearest
there.
Reactor control access
Where
point is 7 kilometers farther into the station's top lobe."
John considered this. If they were careful and lucky, it might be possible. "Is there a way to leave you in the central system until we need you?" he asked. "It would be handy to have you monitor the Covenant security systems."
The duplicate Cortana was silent a full 3 seconds. "There is a way," she finally replied. "When I was copied from the original Cortana, the duplicating software was copied as well. It becomes an inseparable part of all subsequent copies. I can use this to copy myself into the system."
"Perfect."
"There are risks, however," Cortana told him. "Each successive copy contains aberrations that I cannot correct. There may be unforeseen complications associated with using a copy of a copy."
"Do it," John ordered. "I'll take that chance, but I'm not willing to take a chance on crossing 7 kilometers behind enemy lines without a way to bypass their security systems."
"Stand by," Cortana said. "Working."
A minute ticked off John's mission timer. Then the data chip ejected from the terminal.
"Done," Cortana said over the inter-team comm. "I'm in. There's an exit to this bay 30 meters to your left. I will black out the security cameras there and open the door in 20 seconds. Hurry."
John retrieved the chip and reinserted it into his skull. There was a flash of cold mercury in his mind. "Move out," John told Blue Team. "Stay low." Fred's and Linda's acknowledgement lights flickered, indicating the way was clear. Blue Team ran, crouching, for 30 meters. A small access panel slid open. They piled through. Then the door snapped shut behind them. They proceeded, hunched over. They crawled on their hands and knees, on their stomachs, and through ducting so tight they had to shut down their shields and scrape by on bare armor over metal. For kilometers, they followed Cortana's directions, halting as she ran motion sensors through diagnostics until they passed, twisting and turning and shimmying down long lengths of pipe, dodging the giant blades of circulation fans, and edging by transformer coils so close that sparks arced across their shields. According to John's mission timer, they had followed this route for 11 hours when it dead-ended. "New welds," Fred said, running his gauntlet over the seams in the alloy plate blocking their path. Cortana broke in over the comm.
"It must be a repair not logged into the station manifest,"
John said. "Options?" Cortana replied,
"I have only limited mission planning routines. There are 3 obvious options. You can blow the obstructing plate with a Lotus anti-tank mine. You can return to the last repair bay where we might find a less obvious way in. Or there is a faster alternative route, but it has drawbacks."
"Time is running out," John said. "The Covenant aren't going to stick around much longer before they strike Earth. Give me the faster route."
"Backtrack 400 meters. Turn bearing 090. Proceed another 20 meters and exit through a waste access cover. From there, you will move in the open for 700 meters, pass through a structure, and then down a guarded corridor to the reactor chambers."
Grace interrupted.
"What do you mean, in the open? This is a space station. There should be no open spaces." "See for yourself," Cortana said.
A schematic of the open space appeared on their heads-up displays. John wasn't able to make much sense of the diagram, but he could tell there were several catwalks, buildings, and even waterways, as Cortana indicated, lots of open areas for them to be seen in. "Let's take a look," John said. He led his team back the way they had come
and pushed open the waste access duct. Blue light flooded the tunnel. John blinked and let his eyes adjust, then pushed the fiber optic probe through the opening. John didn't understand what he saw. The optical probe must have malfunctioned. The image looked impossibly distorted, but there was no motion nearby, so he risked poking his head out. He was in the end of an alley with walls towering 10 meters to either side, casting dark shadows over the waste access hole. A group of jackals passed the mouth of the alley only 5 meters from his position. He ducked, and none of the vulture-like creatures saw him in the dark. When they passed, he looked up and saw that the fiber optic probe had not been broken after all. The space station was hollow inside, and a light beam shot lengthwise through its center, a blue light that provided full daylight illumination. Along the curved inner surface were needle-thin spires, squat stair-step pyramids, and columned temples. Catwalks with moving surfaces crisscrossed the space, as did tubes with capsules that whisked passengers. Water flowed along the walls in inward spiral patterns, and then waterfalled up into great hollow towers that sprouted from the opposite wall. Banshees flew in formation through the center space of the great room, as did flocks of headless birds and great clouds of butterflies. It could have been an Escher etching come to life. John felt extreme vertigo for a moment. Then he understood that with advanced Covenant gravity technology, there didn't have to be an up or a down here. Odd that a military station would have so much unnecessary ornamentation. Yet Fleet HQ had a large atrium in their lobby. Maybe this was the Covenant equivalent, multiplied 100-fold. John spied a band of translucent material set into a far wall, glistening.
Is that the window to the repair base, Cortana?
Correct, she replied.
Then at least we know the way out, and the structure we need to enter.
1 o'clock, she said. The one with the carved columns. It is the most direct route to the reactor chambers.
John moved out of the hole and hugged the nearby wall. The shadows in the bright daylight would do a decent job of camouflaging them.
Okay, Blue Team, get oriented, as much as you can. Our target is the columned building at 1 o'clock. I make it to be a 300-meter sprint across open ground. We'll make a break for it, unless anyone has a better plan.
Linda emerged, looked around, and said,
Permission to post on the rooftop and provide cover?
Do it, John said. Let me know when you're in position and ready.
Linda retrieved a padded grappling hook and rope from her pack, twirled it, and tossed it up and over the adjacent roof. She tugged it once, it caught, and then she quickly ascended. The remaining Spartans joined John in the shadows. He shouldered his battle rifle and thumbed the safety off. Linda's acknowledgement light winked once. John tensed and ran. It took him 3 strides to build to his top speed sprint. His adrenaline spiked and it made his blood burn. He felt time slow, his perception running at an overclocked pace. He focused on speed, putting 1 foot in front of the other. His boots dug into cobblestones, crushed rock, and sent a fine spray of gravel behind him. He saw 3 obstacles in his path, a group of startled grunts. He slammed the butt of his rifle into the nearest one and crushed its skull. The dead grunt spun end over end and landed in a heap. He heard squawks and shouts around him but didn't stop to look. He was on the stairs of the building, worn smooth stone steps that he bounded up 5 at a time. John saw 3 friendly contacts behind him on his motion tracker, and at the periphery of its range, a solid mass of enemy contacts.
You're good so far, Linda reported. There are elites, but they're unarmed. No, wait. A hunter pair is advancing on your position. Stand by.
A quartet of shots split the air like thunderclaps.
Threat neutralized, Linda said. The rest of them are scattering. Banshees approaching. I'm moving.
John cleared the stairs and skidded to a halt on the threshold of the temple. The interior was cold. External temperature readings were near freezing. Light filtered in through stained glass windows in the ceiling, tinged lavender, cobalt, and turquoise. 3 rows of giant columns made of blue-black basalt ran the length of the 30-meter-long rectangular structure, casting long shadows. It was a good place for an ambush. He set his back against one of the pillars and swept the entrance, covering his team as they entered.
Cortana, update on station security, John said.
There are dozens of reports on the security channels. I've got them covered.
Another Cortana voice broke in over the first.
Also, be advised, Chief, that there are ceremonial guards in this temple, a race we have not encountered before. Roughly translated from Covenant dialects, they are called brutes. They shouldn't be a significant threat, or they would have been used in previous military situations.
John wasn't so sure of that. The name Brute didn't sound promising. He also wondered why there now seemed to be more than one Cortana in the station system. But that could wait. They had to keep moving now that they had revealed their position. He waved Blue Team forward. John took point. He moved up to the next column in the middle of the building. Fred and Will stepped over to the columns on either side behind John. Grace had their backs. There was a flicker on his motion sensor. Just ahead. It vanished. John held up his hand. Blue Team froze. His motion detector was clear, but there had been something there. He pulled out a frag grenade. The transient contact was back. A shadow moved around the same pillar John used for cover. It moved faster than an elite, as fast as John. He fired his rifle point blank into the shadowy silhouette. It didn't slow. It only howled with rage. Will and Fred fired 3-round bursts from their rifles into the creature. It flinched with each bullet impact. 3 explosions detonated behind them. Grace's biosign alarm shrilled and flashed on John's heads-up display.
"Ambush!"
Will cried out. The creature Cortana had called a brute stepped from the shadows and faced John. It was taller than an elite, wider and more muscular. Its mouth was lined with razor-sharp teeth, and its red eyes burned with hate. Its blue-gray skin was riddled with bullet holes. The brute tackled John, knocking his weapon from his grasp. Even with his Mjolnir armor, John was not as strong as the alien. It pounded on him with bare fists, broke through his shielding, grabbed his neck, and squeezed. Red flashes played across John's vision. He began to black out.